This is an orienteering from Udig Fossils, which is in Wheeler Amphitheater, which is in sometimes called the Antelope Springs area of the House Range of Western Utah. So I think the thing to do here is to think about where we are with respect to Nevada and where we are with respect to some of the ranges and basins of the Basin Range. And to even think about politics, and to think about water, and to think about earth systems, and of course, to think about bedrock and sediments. So we're in the basins of the Basin and Range, would be ones like Sevier Desert. They'd be, let's start from the Nevada line. So the Nevada line, when you're, if you had gone sort of west, as we were, from Delta, you'd get to the Great Basin National Park. And let's go east from there. You're in the, you're in Snake Valley on the Utah-Nevada line. And Snake Valley is a major contention these days because Las Vegas wants water. And they want water that folks are arguing will come from Utah's Snake Valley. So the Nevada line, you go Snake Valley. Then the range, next range as you head east, is the Confusion Range. The next basin or valley after that is Tule Valley. The next range is the House Range. Then the next basin, you might consider the Sevier Desert, but there's actually a small valley that's between the northern part of the House Range and some of those smaller ranges that are wonderful from a Bonneville, Lake Bonneville perspective, because you can see shorelines on them. So it's a little hard to explain, but if you were to go just start marching northeast from the Confusion Range, you go Confusion Range, Tule Valley, House Range, Whirlwind Valley, Little Drum, Drum, the Thomas Range, and then one that is of such value to Lake Bonneville, the Keg Mountains. And by then, you're in the sort of the Dugway Proving Grounds, Dugway Valley, with Skull Valley to the north. Thinking again, as you're going from Salt Lake, the Wasatch Mountains, which are part of the, actually we call them the Wasatch Range, they're part of the Rocky Mountain Physiographic Province. We have Salt Lake Valley, then we have the Okers, then we have Tooele Valley, then we have the Stansburys, then we have Skull Valley, then we have Cedar Mountain, and then the Great Expanse till you get to, in essence, Wendover. And remember, there are big ranges and there are smaller ranges and there are bigger basins and smaller basins, because as the extension of the basin and range happens due to tectonics, it isn't happening on a clean slate. And so the Earth tends to reuse previous faults and previous zones of weakness. So you're not expecting your ranges and basins to be symmetrical, because they have inherited characteristics. Okay, getting back to where we are in terms of orienting from Udig. Look south. So as you look south, you're seeing the House Range with Notch Peak that is immediately west of us. I was looking for Notch Peak and it must be just behind a small hill that I'm seeing here. But there's a north part to the House Range and a south part to the House Range. And the pass that's between them is called Skull Rock. And if I recall correctly, Skull Rock Pass is just slightly above the Bonneville level. So I don't think that the Bonneville spilled over those two, but I'll double check before the workshop. So to the further south, as you look here, you can see Sevier Dry Lake. On a wet day, it will be wet, meaning spring times, almost any given year. During the 1980s, it was really remarkable. I mean, it was a big expanse of a lake. And during the summertime, like I'm here today, even though it's smoky, I can tell there's no water out there. And as you're looking south, you'd say, what can we see as we go further south? There's some names, but really House Range, the north part and the south part, is the important. As you see Sevier Dry Lake, if you were to continue south, you would have the San Francisco Mountains with Wawa Valley to the west of it, and you'd have Milford and sort of the Beaver Valley. I have to look what it's called, north of Milford, and then the Mineral Mountains to the east of Milford. The mountains surrounding Sevier Lake, as I've said, are the House Range, the south part. On the west side, the Cricket Mountains are to the east side. They're a wonderful place to see superposition with a minor tilt. The Sevier River comes into the north part of Sevier Lake. It comes in when on the sort of the north side of the Cricket Mountains. And as we came out on Route 50 and Route 6, and we turned off before we went over the pass that would have separated the south part and the north part of the House Range and taken us into the Confusion Range. Tule Valley is, I think, one of Utah's more interesting basins of the Basin Range. It's on the west side of sort of the northern part of the House Range and on the eastern side of the Confusion Range. What was interesting about it is so much of its history, it was an isolated, closed basin lake. And then as Lake Bonneville got to its very highest, the water rushed in to Tule Valley, and you can see the shorelines of the Ice Age non-Bonneville lake, and then the shorelines of the Bonneville level of Lake Bonneville. So that's kind of neat. As for the passes and how to get around here, we've come in from the south, but there are two really neat roads that come in from Tule Valley and run east-west through the House Range. The one is Dome, I'll see what it's called, Dome something a road, but I want to know the pass it's on. Dome Canyon, and if you were to follow the road that's from Wheeler Amphitheater, where we are, you dig fossils, and it sort of loops, and then it comes down the canyon, and it heads into, across the alluvial fans, they're magnificent, of Tule Valley, and takes you to a not very friendly, better have your spare tire and a good jack, road that goes north and south along the west flank of the House Range. Were you to do that, it is an education in alluvial fans. Alluvial fans are landforms that are created by flash floods. And in Colorado, they're created in by flash floods that come out of perennial drainages and they build across a river. Here in Utah and in Death Valley, there are flash floods that come out of the canyons and build sort of conical feature. I don't think it looks at all like a delta. It's steeper. It's got totally different materials, totally different process coming out of the range. However, the other road that crosses through is Marjum Canyon. And it also goes from the east-west. It's south of where we are. And it's a handsome canyon as well. So those two roads can be ways to enjoy backcountry. And let's see if there's anything else. When you're in Tule Valley, look for the Bonneville shoreline and then look way low. So as I'm here at UDIG Fossils, what do I see? I'd want you to see bedrock all around you. If it's bedrock, it's deep time. These trilobites were laid down in layers that have layer after layer after layer after layer after layer piled on top of them. Therefore, they are lots older than, for example, the rocks that are way on top of them. And those rocks are bedrock, and they are much older than the forces that acted to tilt them. And your bright eye should see that these layers are tilted. And your eye should be able to spot the difference between bedrock, which is firm, coherent, continuously attached to Earth's crust, versus sediments, which is the loose stuff that's come from the bedrocks. So as you're thinking, and bedrock is really the term, I didn't mean to say bedrocks. As you look around, I would hope that you can see some of the layering. And you would say, I guess I can tell which were on top of each other. I like that you're not too cocky, that you'd say to yourself, I wonder if something's happened here that has slid older versus younger, younger versus older, but we're dealing with a bedrock story here. And I think Coyote Knolls, it is maybe some of the ones that we're seeing on the skyline. As I said, Notch Peak is west of us and a bit south, and I just don't happen to see it here. It's spectacular. It's one of the classic symbols of the basin and range, this limestone cliff, something like, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 feet of drop. How does it happen to be where it is? And once again, it is made of bedrock. That bedrock is tilted. Therefore, you know the tilting happened after. And then the mountain has been faulted, making the valleys on both sides of it. So that had to happen after the tilting, because the tilting has been cut by that faulting. And then we have the sediments in the valley. So thinking of the overview right here, what I see is a fabulous story of superposition, meaning younger and younger, younger bedrock that was laid across the older materials. So that's one whole story. And that happens to be chapter 3 in Utah's geologic past, when the seas came in and the seas came out, and Utah was near sea level, south of the equator, warm environment, different life at the time, but many of the same processes. Limestone, limestone, where you see this explosion of life, and the trilobites were the climax community, and people study the trilobites here to get a sense of the evolution of the trilobites as well as the evolution of some of the other creatures that were happening at the same time, and even the algal life. I mean, people who are interested in oil end up looking for this, as well as people who are interested in Earth history. So that's one whole story. That would be chapter 3. Now in chapter 6 is when we had the scrunch, and that's because of tectonics and what was happening as California and parts of Oregon and Washington were sort of being added to North America by subduction. And it took a while for Utah to feel the effects of that being added onto. But here, some of the expressions of that would be what are called thrust faults and this tilting. So that is long after. So did we have Notch Peak in chapter 3? No, that's just when we're getting the materials that become the materials of Notch Peak. Did we have Notch Peak in chapter 4? No, that's when we're still burying the materials that are going to become the materials of, you know, Notch Peak and Wheeler Amphitheater. Did we have Notch Peak and Wheeler Amphitheater in chapter 5? No, we're still burying. And perhaps some of it was at being eroded if it was above land. Did we have it in chapter 6? Did we have the mountains of the Confusion Range and the House Range? No, we have the materials. We have the bedrock that will become those. But in chapter 6, I mean, these rocks were still deep underground and they were being tilted. In chapter 7, they're still no house range, no confusion range. We have the rocks that become those. And the region becomes uplifted about a mile. And all in these rocks, these materials, this bedrock, would be tilted and would be fractured from what happened in Chapter 6. In Chapter 8, we have some of the intrusions that we've been talking about and the volcanic activity. And gosh, there are three stripes across Utah. And you could say, why did this happen? Well, tectonics is always the answer. I mean, tectonics are what bring us the volcanism. And I can tell you that story, but I'm not going to tell you that story. I don't want to distract too much. And then so we have... Do we have the confusion range? Do we have the house range yet? No. In fact, it was relatively a high plateau. You know, there were gentle warps and basins, and the area had a lot of material that was getting sort of collected. But it really, it was high plateau country. It might be like some of the high plateaus of China. And then you get to Chapter 9, which is the present, and the extensional tectonics, and that's when we start to have the beginnings of the basin and range. That's when we take these materials and we're eroding them and we're breaking this country into the ranges and the basin and ranges. And finally, by about 5 million years ago, the basin range started spreading, let's say 17, 18, 20 million years ago. By about 5 million years ago, you would have said, I think I can start recognizing the house range, the confusion range. Now, I haven't filled up these valleys yet, but you have closed basins. They weren't shedding their sediments to the Colorado or whatever drainage system was taking it to Nevada. And by 5 million years ago, I shouldn't have said the Colorado River, and I hope I didn't say the Colorado River. I hope I said that it was taking these materials, because it takes you haven't connected the Colorado River system, that's a different story, to the Pacific till really very recently. I mean, and by recently, I mean like on the order of a couple billion years. I mean, it's just surprising amount of time. So by 5 million years ago, you'd have been seeing the topography that we see. You'd have seen basins collecting sediments. You'd have seen ranges that ran north-south. You'd say, oh, yeah, I think I kind of sort of see the house range. I kind of sort of see the confusion range. I kind of sort of see the crickets. And then by, which is a much shorter amount of time, we start seeing, let's say, the past million years, we would have had global glacial, global interglacial, global glacial, global interglacial. And then by just no time at all, we would have had about 25 to 30,000. This is no time at all. The most recent global glacial ice age, we would have had severe dry lake respond to changed climate. It would be rising as the lake in the sort of Great Salt Lake Basin would be rising. And then as they keep rising, by about, 17,000 years ago, they would connect by the old riverbed. And then you would have had, like, Bonneville shorelines. You're not going to see them here because we're way above the elevation of the Bonneville level of Lake Bonneville. But we see it as we drive out of here, as we go back to Route 6 and 50. And then by, 12,000 years ago, climate changes back to our climate, so it went from global glacial to global interglacial. And in that process, the climate changes, it becomes very much like what we've had today, with some variations here and there. I mean, climate's really pretty responsive. And the next thing you know, we've got us down to the present. So, working backwards, I'd want you to see here the layers in the bedrock. I'd want you to see the tilt of the layers of the bedrock. I'd like you to see the difference between bedrock versus sediments. I'd like you to recognize that sediments in general are much younger than bedrock. The sediments of Lake Bonneville are not those that bring us the fossils of the trilobites in this bedrock. This bedrock is about 500 million years old, about 500 million years old, whereas the fossils in Lake Bonneville, the gastropods, the snails, no trilobites, they're long gone. And maybe we'll talk about that in the workshop. So this ends the sort of reconnoitering lecture here. Bye-bye.